I'm Ethan Cottle with WQHY News, and on the line with us today, we have the CCEO of Highlands ARH, Mr. Tim Hatfield. Mr. Hatfield, how are you doing today?
Well, Ethan, I'm doing great today.
That's good to hear. Mr. Hatfield, I have a few questions for you here. The first one being, what can you tell me about the current status of COVID-19 in our region and across the nation?
Sure, Ethan, be more than happy to work with you on the COVID-19 update. Well, in the region, we continue to be blessed. We don't have a lot of cases to date. Check with the health department. There was one case here in Floyd County yesterday, which would have been Thursday. And our neighboring counties, they're about the same pace to have fewer cases. But I think what's really helped us out in eastern Kentucky is the fact that we do have a lot of people practicing social distancing as well as wearing masks. At the hospital, we are still a big proponent of that. Of course, that is also something that the governor has supported him and his task force. And, you know, when you look at the news online, we continue to see spikes in cases in several states. And a lot of states that are spiking, in particular Georgia and Florida and Texas and California, are states that opened up much sooner than what Kentucky did. So I think Kentucky's been very conservative. The fear that we have in eastern Kentucky and, of course, southern West Virginia, where we operate our facilities, is that as folks plan to go on vacation, they need to be careful and continue to practice social distancing and wear their mask. I've been in other states adjacent to Kentucky, and you don't see a lot of that going on. So we're encouraging our employees and our families as well as our community citizens to continue to practice social distancing and wearing the mask, because you'll go into a lot of states and you may be the only folks in a restaurant or a retail shopping complex to have those on. But it's just two precautions that we have done in Kentucky since mid-March. And so far, it's proved to have some value to it. And we'd like to see that be continued with in our region here.
Absolutely. And with that said, how do you feel that we are faring in comparison to the rest of the nation? I know you said you had visited neighboring states, but as a whole, how do you think that we are shaping out during this pandemic?
Well, I think the end product, you know, as we continue to move forward, Kentucky has continued to get high marks from different agencies and really from the news media as a whole of being a state that was very aggressive on the front end and taking the measures with the governor and the travel restrictions and whatnot. And, you know, we were very early on in terms of, you know, the governor issuing orders as it relates to elective surgeries. And, of course, you know, I've seen on the news this morning that the governor of Texas actually just did that today to ration the PPE supply and to make sure that the employees at the hospitals had enough patient protective equipment to operate in a safe manner. And, you know, that's something that we definitely have the inventories on PPE here at the hospital. We strongly encourage and we observe our employees when they're doing direct patient care to have goggles on or eyewear as well as a mask. It's very important. And in some locations in the hospital, we have some cameras set up so we can actually observe the patients. At the same token, we have the interaction, and we still have our COVID unit too. The fourth floor of our hospital was set up as a COVID unit early on. And at one time, we had a COVID physician team that we still have on standby just in case we see a spike up or a surge. Happy to report that we have not had any positive COVID-19 patients in our hospital. We have, as everyone knows, some in the community, but not in our hospital.
Right. And with that said, have your screening protocols changed any over the past couple of weeks?
Well, we continue to screen, and there's a lot of general questions that you're asked at the door. And those questions, a few extra questions have been added to the screening process. And, of course, we do check the temperatures at the door. And if you're a patient or you're a visitor with a patient, of course, that changed sometime back. Visitors are allowed in the hospital. Visiting hours are from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we've got that sort of set up with one patient visitor per patient. And then, of course, if you're having an elective procedure, surgery, or in the ER, you can have someone accompany you also. What we've done for the employees to just sort of fast-track entry into the hospital for their shifts, we check temps at the door, but we've worked similar to what University of Kentucky has in place. We have an app on their phone that they can download. So prior to coming to work every morning, the battery of questions that would be asked at the front door, they can actually respond to all those questions online before they come to work. And then if everything is good based on their responses, then they have a blue screen. So they actually come in and they can actually show their blue screen, and then we check the temp, and then we let them on into the building. Now, if we get in a situation and a question that they answered come back positive, then an email is sent directly to their department supervisor or manager, and then they were told not to come to work, and then we would do a COVID-19 screening to make sure they were okay. We've tried to be on the front end of COVID-19 from a safety standpoint for our community and for our employees as well as for our physicians. We want to be very proactive, and I think the app has been a good addition for us. So, and also what that does, it expedites the timeline for visitors to get in the hospital or other patients get in the hospital for ancillary services.
And I'm sure the screening processes are a nice refresher for those out there who may think that we are becoming a little more lax since we aren't in a hot spot necessarily. Mr. Hatfield, what are your feelings about some of these so-called hot spots?
Well, we sort of are seeing updates on a daily basis, and I've had some conversation with our team here, and we probably will look at expanding our COVID clinic drive-through testing, especially after the 4th of July holiday. We continue to see Myrtle Beach, South Carolina as a hot spot, and of course we have a lot of folks from Eastern Kentucky and Southern West Virginia go there for the holidays and go there for vacation. And a lot of your hotspots are areas that you have a lot of folks go out of town for vacation. So we've had some conversation, and there'll be some more information coming out soon that we're going to expand our COVID-19 testing over to Archer Clinic, and that will probably happen starting around July 6th for the rest of the month of July. And typically, if you follow the CDC guidelines, if you're infected with COVID-19, typically it's you're a person under investigation for 14 days. So, the whole aspect behind of running that clinic for the rest of the month, you could actually go through, get tested, comes back positive, then you can shelter in the house for 14 days. And with the July 14th holiday, if we ran that for the rest of July, that would put us in a good situation that we would feel comfortable and the community would be feel comfortable that if somebody come back and they had some concerns or maybe didn't even have any, symptoms, but just wanted to be tested, they could be tested there.
And those hot spots, certainly a danger to the communities that they're located in. And like you said, to people vacationing there and coming back into our communities, I don't know if you had seen it yet or not, but the Department of Public Health actually issued a travel advisory against going to Myrtle Beach for the upcoming future. Are there any updates that are going on at Highlands that you can share with me?
Sure, we're actually coming up, and it's hard to believe, on our one-year anniversary. August 1st will be our one-year anniversary that Highlands ARH Regional Medical Center became in existence, and we've got a lot of activities coming up for our employees. Our first one is coming up next Thursday. It's, of course, called a celebration of red, white, and blue, so we're doing some things for our employees, hot dogs, hamburgers, apple pie type event. And we've got a couple grand prizes to give away there. And then I don't want to give away all the details, but every week leading up to August 1st, we'll be doing a different event for our employees to make it fun and make it lively. And, we're very blessed with a great team of employees over here, great medical staff. Folks really work together for the benefit and a positive outcome for the patients, and it's always fun to be associated with a team like that. So we truly have a good team here at Highlands. The other thing is we've had a couple services, too, that one that has not been in the community before that I'm aware of, and that's endocrinology service. That's going to be overseen by Dr. Huey. I've worked with Dr. Huey in the past over at Tug Valley ARH for about 5 years when she was an internal medicine doc, and she's finishing up her fellowship program at the University of Kentucky in endocrinology. So starting July 1st, we'll be able to do endocrinology services here at the hospital. So anyone that is experiencing some diabetic issues or concerns, she'll be located on the second floor of the medical office building with our general surgeons, Dr. Marshall and Dr. Patterson. And then this past Monday, we just recently added a urologist to our service line. His name is Dr. John Cochran. Dr. Cochran is located on the fourth floor of our medical office building, and he's in the same suite with our nephrologist, Dr. Reddy and Dr. Chowdhury. So as we continue to identify needs in our community, we want to continue to recruit and retain the best of the best specialty physicians. So our staff, as well as the community, they don't have to drive out of town for specialized care.
That's all great news, and congratulations on your upcoming one-year anniversary. I'm sure that the celebrations are going to go a long way to hopefully boost the morale of the staff over at the hospital. Speaking of the community, what is the immediate next step that you can see for our region at this point in time in the pandemic?
Well, I think the continued collaboration that we have with all Floyd County hospitals, working with the health department and working with the Region 8 Director, Gina Porter, I think those relationships are key from a planning standpoint. I would foresee with the expansion of the COVID-19 testing, the hope is that we don't coming out of vacations. That's key for us. Hopefully that won't happen. But, you know, I think the key is to test as many people as we can that are positive, that we self-isolate those folks so they don't come in contact with others. I think the other thing is a little bit different that we're starting to see more of in our communities as well as nationwide. You know, we've had the conversations for months now that this is mainly a more senior elderly population type of disease. That's not the case. You're seeing a lot of 20, 30-year-old folks coming in contact with COVID. You're seeing a lot of pediatric patients, not so much here in our region, but across the United States, states that are getting impacted. So I don't think really age has a bearing on getting the COVID-19. And, of course, the key is if you are feeling bad and some of the symptoms you have sort of are textbook COVID, you need to be tested. Or if you've been out of town and you come back into town and you've been in one of those hot spots, take advantage of the tests and just make sure that you're okay, because, you know, worst thing you could do is not feel that you're sick and be asymptomatic and then be a carrier and pass that COVID on to somebody else, that it could have a real tragic impact on them and their family.
Absolutely. And it'll certainly be interesting to see how these next few months during the pandemic pan out for everybody here. And on behalf of the community and the rest of everybody else here at Q95, we'd like to thank you all for putting in the countless hours of work and effort into helping to guide us through this pandemic to make sure that we can come out on the other side of it as best that we can.
We appreciate that, but I've made this statement, I think, during these telephone sessions. I've made it a lot since I've been here at Highlands. I mean, the hospital and community work hand in hand. Without the community, there's not a hospital. So it's been great to be a community partner here, working with the city officials and the county officials and others to just really tackle COVID-19 and be on the same page and have a concentrated effort to protect as many people as we can with education, as well as information of how they can protect themselves.
And that sense of community and collaboration is certainly a big focus for everybody moving forward, and I believe that's what's going to help us pull through this as a community. And for WQHY News, my name is Ethan Cottle. Stay tuned in this time each week for our weekly medical update show. Brought to you by WQHY-FM, Prestonsburg, Pikeville, Paintsville.